Scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 6, verses 35 to 59. In the Pew Bible, your ESV version, it's on page 892. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread of life that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that no one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread your fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. This is the word of God.
But we continue our study through the Gospel of John. And we spent the last few weeks looking at this idea that started with the feeding of the 5,000, and it leads into a conversation about Jesus as the bread of life, and we come to kind of the culmination of this today where he says, "I am the bread of life." And we see this, and we'll continue looking at this even in the passage that follows this through the end of chapter 6. But let's not miss the importance of this as we see this whole section of who Jesus is and the importance of Jesus and all that he accomplished. And so I want to pray and ask for the Lord's help, and then we'll look at this together. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in desperate need of you to speak to us through your word, through the work of your Spirit. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, lives to put it into practice. Teach us now. For your name's sake, we do pray. Amen. So in my home, I have this interesting little guilty pleasure with the food in our house. In one of our cabinets, we have our snack cabinet. And on the top shelf, there are these little bitty quarter-sized cookies. And my family knows if I open them and have one, I'm going to have 17 of them. And so I told Amanda recently, I said, I eat three at a time because they're just these tiny little cookies. And I just could eat three at a time for the rest of eternity because I just enjoy them so much. But you know, the interesting thing that happens when I eat these cookies is it doesn't fill me up at all. It tastes great. And scientifically, sugar tricks the brain into thinking more, 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 more. And yet it doesn't actually fill our hunger at all. It just leaves us craving more. And why is that applicable to our passage today? It's applicable to our passage today because Jesus is coming and he's fed the 5,000 and they come back and say, "Give us another meal. We're hungry again." And he says, you can spend the rest of your life seeking to fill the void of your souls, but actually the bread of life is here now. And he offers eternal fulfillment for your souls. So the reality is, I enjoy eating these three cookies, but it doesn't actually fill me up at all. And spiritually, we do that in our lives, like it or not, all the time. We go to this and we go to that and we think, maybe this will fill the hole in my soul. And today, in this passage, Jesus says, no, only I can fill the void in your soul. Only I can fill the hunger of your soul, as he makes a claim of being the bread of life today. And so each week I try to summarize our passage with a big idea, and our big idea today is this: whoever feeds on Jesus, the bread of life, will live forever. You may say, that's kind of strange language, Pastor Nick. Whoever feeds on Jesus. Well, just look at the passage. Jesus makes a pretty strange claim today. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. So we'll look at that, we'll work through that, but I think he's making a spiritual argument. Whoever becomes a partaker of me and all that he's offered through the cross, whoever feeds on Jesus, the bread of life, will live forever. And so we'll look today at three claims about Jesus as the bread of life. This bread is sent by the Father. All other bread is insufficient. The flesh and blood of Jesus is sufficient. So first, this bread is sent by the Father. But I just want us to understand this whole section from verse 22 all the way through verse 59 are meant to be seen together. It's too long for us to preach in 1 week, so we've split it in half. So we're jumping into the middle of this discourse here where Jesus has been having a conversation where they're saying, give us another meal. Our stomachs are hungry again. And he says, you came to me not for who I am, but for what I can do for you, because your bellies are hungry. And then he makes a claim in this where he says, if you really understood who I was, you'd come to me and I'd fill your soul. I'd fill the hunger of your soul eternally. And to go back a few verses in verse 33, it says, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they responded to him, sir, give us this bread always. They're saying, whatever this bread is, we want it because we don't want to be hungry again. And they're thinking in physical terms. He's speaking in spiritual terms. And so he continues this now in verses 35 through 40. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So up to this point, I think they've been missing the point. They've been missing what Jesus is saying. He's saying they're talking about manna in the wilderness coming down from heaven and them filling their bellies. And Jesus says, no, 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 the bread from heaven will fill you eternally. And they miss it. And then he finally says, okay, I am the bread of life. You missed it. You're misunderstanding. I am the bread of life. And I'm sure they were all going, so where's the meal? We're here for another meal. Where's the meal? And he says, I am the bread of life. And it's interesting because this is the first of seven I am statements that Jesus makes throughout John's gospel. So John is framing Jesus through, remember, every time you've seen this word over and over again, believe, 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 believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And what we've looked at in the past number of weeks is Jesus is making a claim of being one with the Father in heaven. And I'd argue when it gets to these seven I am statements, he's making a claim of deity. He's making a claim of unity with the Father in heaven. And where do I get that from? Back in Exodus 3, verses 13 and 14, when Moses is talking to God, he says, "Who do I tell them that you are?" He says, "Tell them that I am." And so now you get to these I am statements. And I think Jesus is saying, I'm one with the Father in heaven. I am God. And he's connecting it to all these different ideas that we'll unpack with time. But the first one here, it's in this context of this meal and their desire for a meal. And he says, I am God and I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And we go back to chapter 4 and remember he talked to the woman at the well and he says, I offer you living water in which you'll never thirst again. So now he's giving you a more full idea. You've got this understanding that he quenches our thirst eternally, and now he fills the hunger of our souls eternally. But it's through this language of I am the bread of life. Life is a theme throughout this whole book. That in Jesus is life itself. In Jesus is everything created that we see and know. So here it continues this idea, and he's saying, what I offer you fills the hunger of your soul forever. Gives you life forever. Verse 36, it says, but I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So he says, I'm the bread of life. But then he immediately turns it back to his connection with the Father in heaven. I only do what he tells me to do. I only draw those that he has set apart for me. In this section, it pulls this tension that you see throughout the scriptures between the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. The sovereignty of God is that God has set apart before the foundation of the earth that he has set his affection on people to draw them to himself. So if you're here today and you're not a Christian and you're just exploring the faith, we're glad you're here. But I want to encourage you, if you feel the Spirit of God drawing your heart to believe in Jesus today, don't push that away. Don't push that off, but actually lean into this. Seek the Lord, because there's this idea throughout this passage where he says, God has set apart, the Father in heaven has set apart those that should believe. And he says, and I'm calling those out. I'm setting those apart. I'm calling those out. I'm going after those that the Father has given me. But ultimately, you see, it's our responsibility to respond in the midst of that. To believe. Once again, this word appears. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. So notice here what he's saying. He's saying, I'm the bread of life and I'm sent from the Father. Sent by the Father. For what purpose? For the purpose of saving souls eternally. God created each and every person. Even those people you disagree with politically, even those people you disagree with practically, even those people that get on your nerves and their personality, they matter to God. Every person. And so for us, as we approach this and we understand who Jesus is as the bread of life, that we're saying, God, you can draw the most unexpected people to yourself. You can draw the most unexpected people to yourself. And so we, as we approach every person we meet, we don't know who those people are that God is drawing. And we're joining God in his work of salvation, and we're proclaiming his excellencies to every person that we meet with the hope that God is drawing hearts to himself and that people will respond in the midst of that. And Jesus here is drawing this out through this image of bread. He says, I'm here to do what my Father sent me to do. And it's important to understand this in its context. This is more than just, so therefore I'm just supposed to create meals for everybody. He says, no, what I'm here for is I'm here to live the life you couldn't live, to die the death you deserve to die, to defeat sin, death, and Satan, and just to step out of the grave alive. So they came looking for a meal. And he comes and says, no, this is about something much larger than one meal that's going to make you hungry again tomorrow. This is about an eternal meal, an eternal sustaining that I offer to you, that I'm sent here by the Father to accomplish. So this bread is sent by the Father. Next, in verses 41 through 51, we see all other bread is insufficient. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I've come down from heaven? So I try to picture these things in my mind. And I see these people hearing this and they go, who does this guy think that he is? I know his mom. I know his dad. How can he claim to come down from heaven? Who is this guy? The audacity to make this claim. So they're mad about it. And understandably so. They're thinking in physical terms all throughout this book up to this point. And he's speaking in spiritual terms and he's trying to explain to them who he is, that he came from heaven, stepped out of the perfection of heaven to step onto the earth. And they're just not understanding because they don't have the whole story and they're not interested in the whole story. And so they grumbled. And it's interesting that you have this all in the context of they're pointing back to Moses and they're saying, He gave us manna, he gave us food. And what did the people do in the wilderness at this time? They grumbled. And what's happening here? They're grumbling in the same way. The heart of man has not changed, even with time. And so they say, who is this guy to make these claims? And I've said this before and I'll say it many times in the future. We have to make a decision. Is Jesus who he says he is, or is he a liar? And they're coming here and saying, I don't believe this guy. But notice how he responds. Notice what he says here. Jesus answered, and this is verse 43, do not grumble amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. He keeps repeating this over and over again. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Jesus here in many, in different ways, he says this at different times, and he says, he who has ears, let him hear, eyes, let him see. He's saying, those that are here that are actually seeking God, may they recognize what I'm saying. And the reality is, the people he's talking to, he's saying, you've missed the whole point. You've missed the whole point. And I don't care how long you've been a part of a church, in a church, around a church. You can be in and around the things of God your whole life, and you can still miss the point. Don't miss the point today. Don't miss the point of who Jesus is and all he's accomplished. So he points back to the prophets. Over and over again, Jesus does this. He says, it's all been talking about me the whole time. And once again, he points this out and he says, and yet you refuse to notice and recognize who I am. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. He says, those that are actually seeking the Father, hear from the Father, their response is to recognize who I am, the importance of Jesus. And he says, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. Back in John 1:18, he says, no one's seen the Father, but Jesus has made him known. And so Jesus here is turning this out, pointing this out again. He says, no one's actually seen him, but I'm here to make God known, tangible, relatable, touchable. God himself stood in front of them, and they missed who he was. They missed what he was there to accomplish. And then in verse 47, we get another one of these truly, truly statements, these promises that Jesus is making. And Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. You guys are going to get tired of hearing whoever believes has eternal life, because it just, he beats that drum to death in this book. The simplicity of this is not whoever believes and does this and this and this and this and this and this and this. It's just whoever believes that Jesus is who he says he is. That Jesus has accomplished what he said he was going to accomplish. And now we look back at the cross and say he has accomplished this. Whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. He says this again in verse 48. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So he's had this big, long discourse and conversation with these individuals, and he finally comes back to their question where they said, God gave us manna in the desert to our forefathers. Why don't you just give us more manna? He says, that bread, it was temporary. He says, they ate it and they still died. He says, that bread at best was pointing us to something greater to come. He's saying that bread was just a picture of a greater, it was a symbol of a greater thing to come. I mean, just picture that. You had manna coming down. They said, what is it? They didn't know what it was. Coming out of heaven, bread coming out of heaven. And now Jesus is saying, well, that was just a glimpse of a greater bread to come. A glimpse of a greater bread to come in Jesus Christ. And so they'd come and said, feed us another meal. And he says, you've missed the entire point of the manna altogether. And so he turns his attention to himself with greater and greater clarity. He says, but this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. So he says, the manna they ate was temporary. They still died. He says, the bread I offer is eternal, that you may live forever. In a world where science is making great leaps and bounds to allow people to live longer and longer and longer, and if you went to someone and said, would you like to live forever? In perfection? With healthy and strong bodies? I think the large majority would say, yeah. Well, I have some bread. All you got to do is eat it. What is this? It's Jesus. Ah. What do you mean? This is the claim Jesus is making here. This is the claim Jesus is making. He says, I offer you a bread that is me. If you eat it, you can live forever. If you partake or participate in it, you can live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So ultimately here he's saying, you can go to any other source, and none of them measure up. You can go to any other source, and none of them measure up. I mean, think about your life. How often we run to this and we run to that. And I think, well, maybe just those three more cookies. Maybe that'll be enough. And you can replace that with anything you run to. But the reality is, it's never enough. It's never enough. And Jesus here is saying, but I am enough. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is enough? It's the claim he's making here, and that leads us into this last claim, is the flesh and blood of Jesus is sufficient in verses 52 through 59. The Jews then disputed amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So all throughout this book up to this point, as I keep saying, he's speaking in spiritual terms, they're thinking in physical terms, and they're saying, is he advocating for cannibalism? I imagine there were people that had seen the feeding of the 5,000, had participated in that meal, had followed to this point, and they're saying, whoever this guy is, I like this. This is great. And then he says, and you get this through my flesh. And they go, wait a minute. What? I was following you. I was with you. But you lost me here. It's because they were misunderstanding what Jesus was trying to say here. They were misunderstanding what he was advocating for here. And I have this funny mental picture in my mind as Jesus says this, and then somebody walks up, grabs his arm, and leans in to take it. He says, whoa, 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 whoa. You're not understanding what I'm saying. But he responds to them, and rather than making this lighter, he makes it heavier. Rather than making this easier to understand, easier to digest, he makes it harder. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, another promise, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So they're saying, is he making a claim of cannibalism? And he says, well, how about this? Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And in the Old Testament law, drinking of blood was outlawed. It was the one thing you weren't supposed to do. And so there's the question here, what is he saying? What is he arguing and advocating for? And he continues and says, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And I'm really thankful for this passage that says, abides in me, and I in him. Because finally, for me, it gives me some clarity of what he's pointing us to. Because up to this, you're going, I'm not following you. But he's pointing us forward to something. And naturally, as Christians who just celebrated Easter, we look back and we say, it's the cross. He's pointing them forward to something that they didn't even understand at the time. His disciples, as we'll see going into the following verses in the coming weeks, that they didn't understand. They say, this is a hard word. And I'm sure it wasn't until the cross that they went, oh, this is what he was talking about. This is what he was pointing us to. But here he's pointing them to the cross. Just as the manna pointed to Christ, Christ now is pointing them to what he will accomplish in his perfect life that leads to a gruesome death in our place upon the cross and leads to the empty grave where he defeats sin, death, and Satan. And what he's saying here is he's saying, anyone that believes in me, that I did that, that I accomplished that, that you can live through that because of that. He says, he's painting a picture of this feeding on Christ. Spiritually, this partaking, participating in Christ, in his death and his resurrection. That's what we picture in baptism, that we're buried with Christ, raised to new life with Christ. We're picturing that to the world, that we now become participants in that because of this supernatural miracle of salvation. And so he uses this with really gruesome language. And it's interesting because we live in a world where we want to minimize this as much as we can. We want to say, okay, how do we make this as palatable as possible? And Jesus now is interacting with the crowd, and he goes, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot have eternal life. He makes the call and the demand harder. Why? We may never fully understand, but my best explanation for that is he's saying, I want to know who actually sees who I am. That I'm the Savior of the world that has come to provide the forgiveness of sins. Who believes that I am who I say that I am? Some scholars come to this and say, obviously John is writing this in to point us forward to the Lord's table, to communion. And I would disagree with that. I would disagree with that. I would argue what Jesus is pointing us to is the same thing that the Lord's table points us to. The Lord's table is a symbol pointing us to the cross, just as Jesus here is using this imagery to point us to the cross. It's the same image we're looking at, and we're saying, he gave his body for you and for me. He poured out his blood as the sacrifice for you and for me. And we're responding to that. And he's saying, recognize who I am and believe that I am the one that provides the perfect sacrifice, the atonement for your sin. And the sad reality is he's talking to a crowd of people, and most of them missed it. Most of them missed it. We'll see in the coming verses, many of them said this is hard and turned away and left. The Savior of the world stood in front of them, offered himself to them in belief, and they said, nah, that seems hard. Don't miss the opportunity today to become a partaker, a participant in eternity through Jesus Christ, that he stands in front of you and me today and saying, believe, follow me, respond. So it says, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. He says, whoever partakes in this, believes in this, commits their life to this, they will receive life because of him. The simplicity of this is really hard for a lot of people. But what do I need to do? Believe. But I want to warn you, it changes everything. Doesn't mean the journey and the path is going to be easier. In some ways, it may be harder, but he's worth it. But he's worth it. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. I could eat 3 cookies at a time forever and I would die. I would die. Or I can take of Christ and live forever. It's that simple of the path we have to choose today. It's that simple. Not to oversimplify this, but this is the claim I think Jesus is making here. Don't miss that he's worthy of worship and praise, and he's the only one that actually could accomplish what he said he was going to accomplish. So I send us out with three questions as we consider how to apply this today. First question, is God drawing you to believe in Jesus today? As I mentioned earlier, if you're an unbeliever and you just happened in here, I don't think it's by chance. I don't think it's by accident. But if you feel God drawing your heart today, don't miss this opportunity to believe. Don't harden your heart to the call of Christ today. If you have questions about what it means to follow Jesus, find me as soon as the service is over. There's nothing I'd rather talk about. Second question, what are the insufficient sources that you run to for purpose and meaning? Christian, test your heart on this. What are the things you run to? And I promise, if you start looking at it, the list will grow pretty long. And recognize that Jesus is the answer to the craving of your soul here. Not substitution X, Y, or Z. And the third question, is Jesus enough? And this is at the core of the gospel. Is Jesus enough? Is he sufficient to fill the hunger of your soul? As Christians, we'd argue yes, but so often our hearts are fickle and we run to other things. Christian, remind your heart today, he is enough. Unbeliever, recognize today, he is enough and believe. So now we have a chance to respond in singing and responding. But it comes to mind for me, Matt Carter, he's a commentator who wrote on this. He says this, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he said, believing in Jesus is like eating. You cannot eat halfway by chewing and spitting. You either eat or you do not. You either take of Christ and believe he is who he says he is, or you do not. Let's pray together. God, we just thank you for your word. We pray that you would use your word to impact hearts and lives, my heart included. And through the unique work of your Spirit, may you transform lives, making us into your very image as you intended in creation. Help us to see the beauty of the cross through this passage. We thank you. We praise you. Amen.